All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We head towards another playoff weekend in the NFL, and we'll have all of those games for you here on WGCL, so you'll want to listen all weekend. We have a new national champion, and it seems like it's an old national champion in college football because Nick Saban and Alabama keep winning them since he's been there. An amazing, amazing streak, and harkens back to John Wooden and UCLA, and I know the number is halved, but the era is much, much, much different nowadays. So what Alabama has been doing is simply incredible, and an incredibly exciting game. A little bit defensive maybe for some folks. I loved it. I thought it was some amazing talent out on the field on Monday night, and so Alabama's your national champion. But we stick local to start, and that is with Archie Miller and Indiana basketball, and we wondered how Indiana basketball would rebound or recover or respond or whatever exactly you want to call it from a victory up at Minnesota, because we're just not quite sure how this team is going to react. They were not so great down the stretch against Wisconsin, but against Minnesota, very, very gutty win on the road, missing some players. Yes, Minnesota was missing some players, but that's a wash in that game. You come home to Penn State, it's always a sleepy assembly hall when Penn State comes to town. It's just not an exciting game for the fans. Students were back and all, but this is a Penn State team. It's been very tough, very physical under Tom Chambers. And I always say Tom Chambers. I'm sure
it's
I'm
Pat.
Wrong. Is it Tom?
It's Pat.
It's Pat Chambers.
See, sorry.
It's Chad.
Tom Chambers is a basketball figure, so you're in the ballpark.
That guy has his team playing very tough, and they get in your face, and they make it physical, and they've got some good players. And you had to wonder how this team was going to react to that. And this team reacted fantastically. It really did. It had its moments where you kind of had to clench a little bit and hold on to your seat, and especially down the stretch late. But there were times during that game where you saw the exact same thing you saw in Minnesota, and that was smart play. That was tough play. That was getting the ball to the right spots. It was moving the ball very well. It was off the ball movement very well. It was getting the ball inside of Juwan Morgan, which, by the way, is one of the most important things you got to do out there on the basketball floor right now. But some great I don't know if great is the right word, but it feels like it's great basketball to watch, because it's the toughness we've all asked for. It's the quality with the ball and not turning it over 800 times that we've all asked for. It's taking some smart shots that we've all asked for. Yes, there are periods that they still kind of fall back to some things you don't like. But I wondered how they'd react to that win at Minnesota, and this is exactly how I wanted them to react, which is to continue the toughness. The toughness will travel, like you like to say, defense, rebound, all that. Toughness will travel wherever you go.
And the other interesting point of last night's victory was the emotional part of it, knowing that Deron Davis, they probably knew before the release came out today that he was going to be done for the season. They probably knew that at the Minnesota game, so you kind of have that, let's do it for him, and how long does that last? Well, it'll last a lot longer if you keep doing the right things on the court for him, and that's what they did. No one played hero ball. Nobody went off the deep end, and the team, again, struggles to shoot the basketball. I think it's back-to-back wins with 40% field goals are right in that neighborhood, and not blazing the nets from three-point land, and they're finding ways to win, and they did it last night. Not on emotion, not on the same thing at Minnesota. It wasn't an emotional performance where they needed to get backed into a corner and told it was them against the world. They went out and executed. And that's the interesting part for me, because emotionally, to get high, to do it for your teammates, really easy. It's really hard to keep that going. So you probably don't want that. You probably want the don't get too high, don't get too low.
Right.
Because there's nothing you're going to do that's going to solve that problem in the long term. So what do? Is you come out and you try to play smart. And Archie Miller nailed it. He said, look, we don't turn the ball over. We can miss some shots.
Yeah.
They had 10 more shots than Penn State did in the game. And Penn State shot 50%. Penn State shot 50% on the road in the Big Ten and lost.
Yeah.
Indiana led for 39 minutes in 1 second. They trailed 24-23 for a minute.
Yeah.
And that was it. Well, you didn't see the wild swings. The wild swing was their 11-point lead went down to five or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
But the lead didn't even get down to 2 till 72-70 with 1.4 left. So you saw Indiana take care of what they needed to do, and they didn't do it by hitting 13 or 14 threes where you say,
well, that's
kind of out of your – that's not normal.
That's what's interesting about this one is because
well.
You know, 8 of 19, 8 isn't a ton of threes, but 8 of 19, you shot them well up at Minnesota. So, I mean, you can't say
for them it was well.
Yeah,
you
can't say the three carried you, but the three at some spots, you know, gave him some really
Justin
good
Smith,
boost.
70-68, 71 question. 70.
There was,
huge
you know, the step back by Juwan Morgan after a big rebound, offensive rebound. I mean, there was a couple threes in that Minnesota game that were huge in that game. But in this one, they go 6 of 27. And it was just a dreadful effort from three-point land. I think most of those, 17 of them were in the first half.
At the 441 mark, I made this note because I thought you'd find it interesting. Robert Johnson, Josh Newkirk, and Colin Hartman were 1 for 10, and they were leading.
Yeah.
And leading by 5 or 6 points. And, and that's when you can take the lead and not be shooting it well.
Right.
That really signifies that the other stuff is working. And I think that's the important part. Because I think we were listening to some post-game audio right before we went on the air. And I think it was Juwan Morgan who nailed it. He said, look, we were 3 of 17 at the half. We didn't take a lot of bad shots.
No, they weren't.
It wasn't like
really
pull
weren't.
Up one-on-three,
no.
three-pointers.
No.
It was move the ball, swing it wide open, miss.
They talked about being aggressive before
they
the game.
They were aggressive shooting
and
the three.
And there were a couple aggressive ones, but I didn't – same
step
thing. I didn't say that's
it.
A horrible shot.
No, you didn't see a three dribble or a couple step backs or through your legs a few times.
Uh-uh.
Late in the shot clock, that's fine. That has to happen. When the ball's
3-2-1.
Right,
you had a couple inbounds with 2 seconds.
Yeah,
you
which you're
going
to have to do something with. And that does count in your percentage. I get that. But these were not out of rhythm. They weren't one pass. I hate the one pass three.
Yeah.
It wasn't a one pass three. It wasn't a bad decision three. They just frankly didn't go in. And I mentioned this on Monday, and I'm going to mention it again. We're one more game closer. What's the record now? 16 games? They're at the halfway point or past, and it's not falling.
Yeah.
And if it's not falling at home, 6 of 27,
right.
That makes this win – I don't want to say special. That's not the word I'm looking for. It makes this win quality because they had to do other things. Remember, they scored 75 points at Minnesota with 8 threes.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 74 points in this game with just 6 threes.
Right.
So they outscore them at the foul line by 6.
Mm-hmm.
They even them on the three-point line, even though they shot well Penn State, 43%. That's really good from three-point line for the most part. It wasn't 43% on 12 of something.
Yeah.
It was 6-6
to
in threes.
No, we said the other day, the quote was there, if you go by Ken Palm rankings, which are all efficiency rankings,
all
it's very interesting.
Something.
They're over 300 out of 350 teams at both three-point offense and three-point defense. So the percentage of three-pointers that were made was still a high percentage for Penn State, but there's only 14 taken.
Yeah.
So you're getting them off of the three-point line at the very least and not letting them have
and they didn't
a
hit
bunch
11
of
14 of them
exactly.
either. That's the other good point of it. If
and
you're not
hit the boards
shoot
again. I mean, this team has got to hit the boards, and it's been doing that well. It won the boards by 5 in this game. It won it by 10
Robert
at Minnesota,
Johnson
which is
has,
incredible.
He has 12 rebounds in the last two games.
Yeah.
They've won both of them. It's not a surprise why that is.
We all want Robert Johnson to be something a little bit different than he is. But you know what? When you watch him out there, he gets involved in a lot of ways. He does have a couple turnovers.
But he has to guard the other team's best player, too.
And he has the ball a lot of the time.
And Tony Carr's leaning on him for a half.
He plays a ton of minutes. He did put 10 points in, not the 28 he had the other night.
We knew that was
But it's not because he didn't get good shots. He had some good shots. He had back-to-back good shots from three-pointers.
Yeah.
Didn't make either one of them. You know, those are both good shots for him.
They didn't go in.
But you're right. He hits the boards. He's distributing the ball well.
Guarding
the
best team's player.
Getting people into the right plays. Defensively, this team is playing completely different.
I mean, Tony Carr is a beast.
And so is a Lamar Stevens kid.
That's a big kid. Well, Johnson was on Carr for most of the, at least the first half.
There's a couple good players on that team that don't get enough credit, I think, outside of the Big Ten.
And that's Penn State's problem. But the other key to last night's game, and Archie even mentioned this in his press conference, said, geez, when was the last time we had 5 guys scoring double figures? We talked about it on Monday. You can't move forward with 3 guys scoring 68 to 75. It just doesn't happen that way. And you get balance last night. It was great to see Colin Hartman back. His shot wasn't falling, but he gives you everything else. He gives you points around the the bucket.
Yeah.
He makes teams pay attention to where he is because he can shoot the three. Mm-hmm. That usually drags a bigger guy out, Absolutely. Which creates more space around the basket.
He got at least one backdoor basket because of it.
They had two or three great cuts from the top of the key, mm-hmm. down the lane for easy layups. That was great scouting, whoever was in charge of that. And the great part was the bench that gave 7 points on Saturday afternoon, 25-1.
Yeah.
That's a huge...
Yep.
Big time. Exhale. They kept the lead. They maintained the lead. They let Johnson rest 8 minutes in this game. He only played 32 minutes. We only 32 minutes.
No.
But again, Devontae Green was positive. Josh Newkirk was positive.
Now,
that was a huge part.
Colin Hartman did not play at Minnesota. So in going into those 7 points off the bench at Minnesota, it did not include your fifth-year senior.
It was two for Devontae Green and five for Freddie McSorley.
Yeah, it did in this game. The question with the bench is going to be, can it travel? Because, you know, you can't have to have the 68, as you mentioned, of 75 every time you go on the road. I mean, that'd be great if you could get it to start with from those guys, but it's kind of unlikely. But you got the bounce back from Newkirk. You got the bounce back from Devontae Green contributing. Very important game to me. There's another one coming up this weekend. They're all important. But
yeah, I think they are.
But for this team and the attitude of this team and the toughness of this team, that's two straight. And really, it's – two and three quarters straight because they did play pretty tough up at Wisconsin.
Yeah, the first half I had no problem with that.
And that Wisconsin team wasn't the one from a couple years ago. But, going up to Madison has always been a house of horrors for the Hoosiers. They played well in the first half. They didn't play a great second half, but they showed it at least for a while.
Here's what
I liked. Then they do it for the whole game at Minnesota.
They
do it for most of the game.
They learned something.
You got to take it from game to game to game. Now, I'll have a different question in our next segment for you. But what you're seeing is you are seeing that it's starting to stick. It's only starting to stick for a couple games in a row now. Does it stick again Sunday at home against Northwestern?
But your big question was,
the next
how
question.
Are they going to react after a good
absolutely.
Road win? Well, the reaction was it stuck.
Yeah.
The reaction after the Notre Dame
Same
game,
kind of
it
effort.
Didn't stick.
Exactly.
Or whatever
exactly.
other games you want to point to.
In fact, the exact opposite of sticking.
Yeah, it would be unstuck, not sticky.
You lost at home by 28-4. Wait, in that time.
Only given up 4 second chance points and 5 offensive rebounds. Rebounding, we talk about, is effort. The more guys that rebound, the more you keep other teams mm-hmm. off the glass. And obviously, Juwan Morgan, there is no question who the best player on this team is right now. You don't get a hat, you don't get a pin, you don't get a ribbon for that. But what it means is
you do get touches.
We're going to 39 minutes and no mm-hmm. fouls. That's a professional grade performance
yep.
right there.
Yep.
And it was fun to watch. We were talking about this right when we went on the air, and we'll expound on it as we get rolling through the program. He doesn't do things incorrectly. He
yep.
doesn't take bad shots. He doesn't dribble into wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't force things when they don't need to be forced. He plays defense and tries consciously not to foul guys.
Right.
You can see when I had a great shot right in front of me, and I have a great seat at the game, and that's part of my job. And the big fella turned, Watkins, turned, and you just saw Morgan look at the ball, and he's like, he's holding it away from his body.
Yeah.
Boom, smacked it right out of his hand.
Yeah.
He didn't wait to body him up or do anything else or bump uglies with him and see if you're going to get that call or not get mm-hmm. that call. He saw the opportunity, just kind of looked and bams.
Yeah.
But it's smart.
Yeah,
he's not laying all over him and
right.
falling
nope.
or reaching
nope.
from behind.
Well, his positioning is great.
Him.
His footwork is great.
And he's smart up here.
And he's strong.
And he's smart. and he's not really off balance.
Yeah.
You see him
That's...
when he gets in trouble.
Yep.
He finds a way to pivot out and makes a good – he's a really good passer as well.
Yep.
And you're going to have to go back for a minute to find the last game he had less than 14 points.
Yeah.
It's been 5, 6, 8, 9 of them. I don't know what it is exactly. I can bring it up. It's in the game notes if you look on his player profile. But the point is, if I can't remember it off the top of my head, that's how well he's playing.
No,
they have to
fantastic.
Count on him every single night. It seems to be rebounds. It seems to be everything else. Now, 3-for-4 three-pointers in Minnesota, right? 2-for-5 three-pointers last night. There's another arsenal of that. That's going to open up things. People watching film are going to see that.
His last game in single digits was – it was only 5 games ago, but it was Tennessee Tech with 9. You have
right.
to go all the way back to Eastern Michigan and at the end of November for the last time before that. So, I mean, you look at this, and this is Duke, Michigan, Iowa, Louisville, Notre Dame. It's 14, 24, 15, 17, 34.
That's balling.
In the last couple of games, 16, 17, 20, 21.
And he was unhappy with his performance at Wisconsin. And I think it was 16-7, 14-8, something
mm-hmm.
like that. I mean, that's you'd take that. You'd like to have 21-11, but for a guy that's never been asked to go 21-11 and a guy that's never been asked to go 35, 36, 37 minutes,
well,
he's been doing it.
And right now, he's still not supposed to be the guy we rely on underneath. That's supposed to be Deron Davis. And now it's got to be Juwan Morgan. Now, Juwan obviously has worked on the skills, worked on himself enough, you know, that he can do it, and he's showing how well he can do it. But this was supposed to be the year that we're running the post through Deron Davis. So everything leading into this season was not supposed to be Juwan Morgan was going to get all these post touches and be this kind of beast, and yet he's grown into this kind of beast. And oh, by the way, it's perfect timing because we desperately need it without Deron Davis.
That beast, if he stays out of foul trouble, is going to be a handle for everybody, but that's going to be the next thing. Well, how do you get Juwan Morgan off the court? You take it at him offensively, and he's going to have to be smart because Indiana's front court doesn't have a ton of depth in that position, especially to guard people. The offensive part you can always find, but it's always the defensive part you worry about. Well, we won't worry about that tonight. 74-70 winners. Morgan, 8 of 16, 11 boards, and 2 of 5 from three-point land. One turnover. No fouls in 39 minutes.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's pretty awesome. Those guys for it. Sixth double-double of the year also. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. A little more IU basketball when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Talking IU basketball. Victors at home 74-70 over Penn State. I think at the beginning of the season, I know IU fans, we love to look at our schedules. And you said, ooh, that's a tough couple first two games in this stretch at Wisconsin, at Minnesota.
Splitsville, baby.
Splits, and really, you know, if things went a little slightly different in the second half. Who knows at Wisconsin, but it didn't. So 1-1 there. But you come home and you go, oh, hey, breathers. Penn State and Northwestern, you know, big tough games. These are tough games. They're all going to be tough this year, but those are tough games in particular. And like I said, it's always a sleepy assembly hall in these games. You know, when Michigan State comes to town, everybody's crazy. When Penn State comes to town, everybody's like, all right, show us what you want to do.
Yeah,
and the kids gave them reasons to get in it.
Absolutely,
and played tough.
I always tell you, you got to give them something to cheer for.
You mentioned that, and I always point out, again, you walk out there for the beginning of the Purdue game, and the place is crazy. You walk out there in the last 2 minutes of the Penn State game, and the place might be a little bit crazy. And that's the difference between the two environments.
I don't think that's wholly wrong, but I think I'm going to point out why I think last night was a little bit different and a sign of growth for this team. It's 35-31 at halftime. It's 44-36 at the first TV timeout, so they're plus four to get started. Yeah. And then right out of the TV timeout, boom, Johnson hits a three.
Yeah.
And then it's up to 11. It's the biggest lead of the game. The place is making noise, and Chambers goes timeout immediately. They went right back to the timeout. So unlike what you saw perhaps at Wisconsin, where Indiana had the lead, and then when we're down 11, they came out and put some things together, didn't kick the ball all over the shop.
Did some things right.
Didn't try to make the dagger play, the first play out of the locker room. That's not what happened. Even Minnesota, you saw when Indiana, I think, had a 7 or 8. They had a 9-point lead in the first half, didn't score the last 3 minutes and 40 seconds, came out in the second half. Minnesota ran it up to 8, 48-40, somewhere in there, and Indiana didn't go away.
Right.
We've seen some of the guys on that team that have played before have faded in some circumstances. But I think that's the growth you've seen. Maybe you didn't see the reaction you wanted at Wisconsin. You saw a much better one at Minnesota.
Sure.
And then what you did in the second half at home to help get that maybe not rabid crowd on your side was give them something to cheer about. You come out of the locker room, boom, run it right up to 11. Take a 4-point lead up to 11.
That's right.
And then the rest of the game, I think the closest they got, Indiana kept it above 5 or more under 7 timeout. Yeah. They got it down to 56-53, and then Carr and everybody, Morgan got some big plays in there involved, but it was 61-58. That's not right. And then they got it down to 3, and Indiana ran it right back up to 8 at the 3:53 timeout. Mm. So, again, they never – Usually when you have to climb the mountain on the road, like Indiana was doing at Wisconsin, you get it down to two, and you see the top, and you can't get over. And right. Penn State did the same thing, and Indiana just kept hitting them in the body and hitting them in the body.
All the free throws down the stretch.
But you nailed it earlier. Penn State didn't have three-point looks to hit. Mm-hmm. Their guards were trying to drive and get into places where there wasn't places to go. Indiana didn't let them get back into the game doing anything easy.
Right.
And that was a great thing to see. It wasn't Ethan Happ just picking passes to wide-open guys across the floor, right, and they're knocking down shots.
Right.
They're closing out. They're getting on the glass. And when you only give up four second-chance points and five offensive rebounds, one and done, that hurts when you're trying to make a comeback.
Well, I'll tell you
what. That hurts the momentum. That hurts the psyche of Penn State. And Eric brought this up on the air, Eric Shore. And he said, look at these guys, Don. The 11-minute mark, this team was bouncing in the first half. They're getting shots doing this, and they just looked like they couldn't get over the hump. It's demoralizing.
Well, what's interesting, too, is you think back to a few games ago, and one of the uglier games of the year, and we made the point afterwards.
Oh, we had three in a row. Which one?
Well, no, the Fort Wayne game in particular. And the issue in that game was, here's a team that has a lot of big players that can shoot the ball. And so they did a great job with pick and roll type of stuff. Spacing. And really caught us off. Penn State is not that team. Nope. Penn State does not have big guys all over the floor that can space you out and can hit those shots from outside and really hurt you. Minnesota, similar kind of thing. Northwestern, they've got some guys that can hit some threes. I don't know how much of this is a matchup situation. Now, what's interesting to the flip side of that point is that missing Deron Davis and already being thin up front, you wouldn't think that the opposite of that would mean we'd be a great matchup against a team that wants to bang you inside.
But you know what?
Because Juwan Morgan's been great, but we don't throw a whole ton of bodies in the front court at anybody either.
But I've told you this theory before, and I think you saw a little bit of it last night with Watkins. He only had four attempts, and he made all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled to get position because Juwan's quick.
Yeah.
He'd rather have Deron sitting back on him,
right,
let him catch the ball, I'll body up with him.
Mm-hmm.
But Juwan's active. Colin was active. You saw him fronting him, just bothering the heck out of him.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him getting annoyed that, number one, his guards wouldn't give him the ball, and number two, didn't get good enough position.
Hold on there to number one,
because
Archie has talked all year long about get up on the ball handler so that they don't get the easy looks on the inside either. So,
ball,
I mean,
pressure.
Yeah, there has certainly been a change there, too. And that's what's also getting him off the three-point line. So is it
got to fix broken things.
Yeah, I mean, it's never shown itself to be perfect.
So
with
people
this team.
Say, "Oh, what's he coaching? What's he doing?" Well, the defensive side of it is getting better, obviously. But having the sixth, whatever Watkins is, he's a monster in there. He's twice as wide as he is tall, and he gets only four shots because you're working hard. He's got guys on him that are more agile around him. Big guys like to pick on guys their own size. They like to pick on other big guys. They don't like going against squirts. Remember all those times Yogi Ferrell get in the post and bother
start slapping
at
people.
Guy wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
Gotta get the ball and get rid of it. Yeah. Let somebody else guard me. I don't want to deal with that. But we can't leave this without talking about Devontae Green for a minute. Devontae Green's last three games, three against Youngstown State, and a combined 2 points at Wisconsin and Minnesota.
I mean, he was gone.
That's the Devontae Green.
He was gone like Justin Smith was gone for a while too. I mean, there was an overlap in there, but
and Devontae Green is not a third year junior.
No,
he's playing his year and a half,
right?
And he is learning what stays on the court. And that was the other interesting thing we heard Archie say in his post game comments. He said, "Josh and Devontae learned in the last 8 minutes of the Minnesota game, if you're going to throw the ball away and make bad decisions, you can't play.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the road in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And to have Devontae Green, two things you can do."
Right.
Sit on the end of the bench and sulk, or get in there and take a chance and figure it out. Now, the one teardrop off the glass made me nervous, but that was a great
He's got that shot. I mean, he does. He's got that shot.
But he gave you, you know what he
also
gave you?
You've seen him make that before.
He gave Robert Johnson a break on Carr
because
he could go. He's not scared of anything.
Yeah.
And he's big enough.
Right.
And he's physical enough, and he's confident enough.
Now, they all made dopey plays down the stretch on defense, but
they sure did.
But they made the free throws,
and that was where I was going.
And
with that.
Generally took care of the ball.
How about a guy
does nine turnovers in this game?
A guy
is fantastic.
Doing nothing, getting 0 minutes, and when he had minutes, four or five of them, doing things that drove Archie crazy.
Right,
gets in there, knocks down two free throws at 70-67, knocks down two free throws at 72-70 to essentially ice the game. 74-70 is your final score. I mean, it's 1.4, but hey, we've seen dumber stuff happen.
No question,
but to be focused enough to come out and not sulk it up, stink it, or say, I'm going to get mine in my 20 seconds of playing time here.
Or your confidence is so shot you can't make it.
Yeah,
clutch free throw.
I don't think the confidence ever is a problem with him.
It doesn't appear to be.
It's reining in when to be confident.
Yeah.
And you saw, though, the the energy, the boost that he gives the team, the good Devontae stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And with sophomores and kids, you're going to have the up and down moments. Justin Smith, as you mentioned, we told you on Monday night it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Sadly, he couldn't get in the game. He had foul trouble. And that's fine, but wasn't it nice to have Colin Hartman to go to stick in for 27 minutes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why you need a squad. That's why you can't rely on three or four guys to do it. It just doesn't work that way.
We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. In the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Some programming notes for you, and there are several. Stick with us tonight. 7:45 is pregame for college basketball, and this is a good one. Xavier is against Villanova.
Number 10 Musketeers and the number 1 Wildcats. They take over from Michigan State after they were blown out on Sunday. So
two tough teams.
Big East battle.
They do, and the Big East is throwing them together early in their season, too. Every weekend you look and there's good matchups.
Well, that's what happens when you have a 17-team league, either.
Yeah, that's right.
That does help.
Friday night we put our centerpiece back into place. That is high school sports and high school basketball with a big rivalry game, Edgewood at Owen Valley. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk and 7:30. Tip off for that. We hope the weather holds off so we can get the black and blue rivalry in here on WGCL. On Saturday and Sunday we have all of the NFL games for you. Starts at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and that will be Atlanta at Philadelphia. The evening game is Tennessee at New England. Then we start at 12:30 on Sunday with Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, and New Orleans finishes it off at Minnesota. So that's your NFL weekend. We'll have it all for you here on WGCL. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. I refuse with this team to say anything is done, is solved,
no.
is a static entity.
They haven't done
is
enough
a
to show
thing,
you that
yet. You know, I mean, you could say Michigan State is really, really good and they had a bad game at Ohio State, and you can make the argument very, very, very easily that they're going to continue to be awesome all year long. This team, I still don't know how they're going to react to Northwestern. So here is my question to you. Why are we 17 games into the season and thrilled about two tough games in a row when Ohio State has got a new coach and had a roster that everybody said was going to stink the joint up, that had to come into Bloomington and convince a kid not to play his senior year to go play for them over there? How has he gotten through to them so quickly? Now, they're not going to win the national championship or anything like that.
Oh, but who knows? Maybe they will.
Yeah, what – I mean – how is that? I mean, I know there's different personalities of different kids, and I don't want to go one by one, but I mean, how is it that he walks over there and has a more instant effect maybe than Archie has here with the toughness side of things?
I don't have the answer for
that. Because they're both damn good coaches.
Right. I don't follow Ohio State basketball as deeply as I should. I don't know what kind of recruiting base and kids they've had in there. Maybe they had underachievers. I know the Wesson kid's supposed to be a top 20 national type recruit. They're big.
Yeah,
big,
I mean,
fella.
Tate, we've watched forever. We
sure.
knew he was good.
Was he a senior now?
I think so.
Well, there's
Diop
one year
didn't play a lot of last
he
year.
He didn't play at all last
so
year.
So he's coming he back hurt. Off of that. He's been fantastic.
He is.
But
he's been their Juwan Morgan.
Yeah.
Where it's every night out, it's 25 points and 7 rebounds. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Tate's a senior, mm-hmm. doing senior things. They've got the persnickety little point guard, CJ, whatever, Jackson or Williams or whichever
yeah,
one
Jackson,
he is.
Jackson, I think that's right.
Nice,
yeah.
nice player.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Cam Williams who can shoot some threes. They've got some role guys that run through the middle. They've got some size and athleticness. Yeah. And bravo to Chris Holman. You saw what he did at Butler for the last few years. It's not like it's a secret he could or could not coach. And when you have a new guy in, the reason Thad Mon is out of a job is because health issues. Not because
they would have let him stay, I'm sure. But he didn't get to the tournament the last couple of years also.
There wasn't right, and everybody loves Mata for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a different thing at Ohio State, and good for them. And if Indiana's playing their best basketball at the end of the year and Ohio State isn't, I think every team is different. Every chemistry is different. Every gel is different. And again, I don't know enough about Ohio State to say, oh, they're running the exact same system, so there wasn't any change. Anybody had to figure that. I don't know any of that.
Because, see, I care less about Ohio State getting something right
but
at this point.
I care more
about why it's taken until this time to do it and still wondering if it's going to carry over to Sunday.
Isn't that the magic question with every team where it doesn't happen? You put in a new coach. Hey, why aren't we 10-2? Mm-hmm. The reason we got a new coach is we didn't want to be 5-7 anymore or 6-6 anymore.
I mean, I'm fair about this.
I'm saying it's the worst thing that can happen for any other coach that's not Chris Holtmann, because
we knew this
everybody
team,
says, hey, look at that guy. They're killing
we
it
We knew
there.
This team wasn't stacked with an NBA talent.
They were 10th last year in the league.
And lost three guys that are going back and forth between the G League and the NBA.
Ohio State lost a bunch of guys to transferring. I get all that. But it is apples and oranges, because it's just not the same. And I wish I had a better answer for you where I could point to it and say, here you go. But what I know Ohio State has is they've got two guys that can score the basketball in Tate and in Diop.
And they've been consistent about it.
Well, and if you can score the basketball, that covers up and papers over a lot of cracks, as we saw last year, because all the guys that scored the basketball for this team are gone, and Indiana still has some cracks to paper over because they're not covering it in three-point shots.
So this weekend is Northwestern, and as far as the NBA or the Big Ten right now is concerned, they may be your biggest disappointment up
till
now.
And there's a reason why.
And they're missing McIntosh right now.
No, he's back. He came back. He played Friday night at Penn State, and Penn State beat them 68-53 or 78-63.
Yeah.
Penn State hammered them.
They are not playing anywhere.
And I'll tell you why.
Like they were
There's
last
two
year.
Reasons why. Number one, they're not sneaking up on anybody anymore.
Well, that's true.
They're Chicago's Big Ten team, so Chicago makes a big deal about that. And they went to the tournament for the first time ever, so that monkey's off their back. Now, we finally made the playoffs.
Finally did that.
Now you don't make the playoffs for 10 more years. Yeah. It's one of those deals. Let's see how often the Bills
Which
are in the
Which is
playoffs.
Too bad, because they're a talented team.
Now, here's problem number two, that not a lot of people are going to follow college basketball and know this. And that's, I'm not picking on you for not picking this up. If you haven't picked it up, they're not playing at home. They don't have a home arena this year.
Right.
They're playing at the All-Star. Last time we were there, I seen the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
But they don't have a locker room.
Right.
They don't have a gym to go swipe their card in and shoot around in.
Right.
They've got a construction zone.
They've got to have something they can practice in. But they don't have their facilities like we have our facilities.
Amen.
And they're playing their home games an hour away.
They're not walking. Yeah. They're not walking over there.
That's true.
And here's the deal. You have all the hype.
I'm sure they don't practice there every day.
They do. But that's killing 2 hours every day if that's how far it is.
Yeah.
So you have that issue. You have also the issue of expectations. Hey, you guys made it last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now are you taking the next step?
Right.
And a lot of teams.
It's all Final Fours from here on out.
And a lot of teams who haven't been in that situation might not know how to handle it.
Right.
So they've got a big old target on it's no longer plucky Northwestern. It's these guys went to the tournament last year and almost everybody's back.
But okay, so here's the matchup on Sunday.
No home court. You're playing 32 road games.
Here's the matchup on Sunday.
Hard to get it around your head.
All they've heard now, and they keep hearing it all week long, is how they're not living up to the expectations that everybody had on them this week. So when are they going to come through? This is a veteran bunch that did some really good things last year.
I'll tell you what.
To me, it's only a matter of time until they start to right their ship. It might be too late for the tournament, but at some point in time, this team that we're going to see on Sunday is going to start playing some good basketball.
And I'll tell you why
it's
not.
Is it this weekend?
I'll tell you why it's not this Sunday.
And is Indiana going to bring the toughness for 30 straight games?
I'll tell you why it's not this Sunday. They were beaten 15 at Penn State on Friday night. Mm-hmm. They're at the Barn tonight.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then they have Indiana for the third
road
game in a row.
Yeah,
that is brutal.
Yeah.
Friday to Sunday.
Yeah, man.
That's what, 9 days?
We haven't gotten into our difficult times
nine
frame yet.
9 days, three games all on opponent's courts. Throw in, you don't have a home court.
Yeah.
How many students are making the trip to the All-State?
I'm sure. Now,
remember,
very few.
Remember, Welsh Ryan only had about 5,000 in there.
Yeah,
five or six.
It was a little bit, but it wasn't huge. And they were mostly IU fans.
But 1,000 students make a lot of noise in that arena.
Oh, yeah, and when they got crowds, they filled the place up.
Look, they've lost to Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
They've struggled with some other teams early before finding their way. Do I think Northwestern will be okay later in the year? I couldn't be happier to be playing them on the third of a third game road trip.
Yeah.
And you know what? Indiana doesn't make the schedule. Northwestern doesn't make the schedule. Sorry about your luck. These are games at home you need to win if you want to go places at Indiana University.
Yeah.
Your legacy as a senior, an upperclassman, you can't explain away a Northwestern loss because of the reasons I just gave you. After as well as Indiana has played, not, I didn't say shoot the basketball, I said as well as they have played, composure, rebounding, getting after balls, toughness, whatever else goes along with that, it would be tough to explain away how Northwestern beats you unless, caveat emptor, or beware buyer, whatever that is, Northwestern comes in and hits 17 threes.
Yeah.
The greatest equalizer in college basketball is you can get out of any funk quickly. A team that doesn't guard it very well, and a team that can shoot it well. McIntosh loves to come here and play.
Yes, he does.
He does. But Indiana knows that.
This is a very, very important game for the Hoosiers.
They all are.
Here is their next set of schedules, okay?
Yeah.
They play this game Sunday. They've got until Friday night, the 19th. But it's at Michigan State.
But look at the stretch, though.
But that's my point as I'm going. You got the 19th at Michigan State, the 22nd at home to Maryland, the 24th at Illinois, who's not great, but they're tough. They're bodying people up. Yeah, I mean, they're just playing tough and dirty and ugly right now. And then on the 28th, you come home to Purdue. And then on the 30th, you go to Ohio State. And then on the 3rd, you come back to Michigan State. That is a tough – that's our compact version of the Big Ten schedule.
This is our bye week.
All good teams except maybe Illinois.
Right now is the bye week.
Yeah.
Because you play Tuesday night, 4 days off, play Sunday, 4 days off, play Friday.
Yeah. I mean, you can't –
get that now, shoulder healthy.
Again, we're not talking about a Big Ten champion IU team here, but this team can't afford to lose.
A team that shows me that they are maturing and it sticks and they're getting it
– wins this game.
Beats Northwestern.
Yes.
And I think they should give Northwestern some
problems. Reason, and I'll tell you what, the reason that I – you know, I've had some times this year and other years too where I'm ready to jump off the cliff with some of these teams. But the reason I'm not right this minute for this game, whereas I may have been the other night, is the way they held the second half. The way they played in the second half, as you mentioned, they jump out and extend their lead coming out of the locker room. They hold on to most of that lead for most of the second half. And as things are not quite going right late in the game, they did not show a ton of stupid stuff. They did not turn the ball over six times in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Nope.
All right. Now, they didn't get out on a couple shooters.
It's all right.
But they didn't do really stupid stuff to kill
them. Foul them?
Like foul them on a layup or something goofy like that. They didn't do stupid stuff. And they went and they made their free throw. So you see a lot of games come into a two-point game late because that kind of thing happens, and yet you make your free throws and make it. So I really like the way they played the second half of that game.
And don't forget, the Indiana team that Northwestern has enjoyed facing over the last few, five, six, 8 years has not been known for anything on the toughness scale and on the defensive end of things. This is a different set of onions.
This team is rebounding. The other teams have rebounded. This team is rebounding also, and it's doing it even smaller than the last couple teams have been. We've got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Here's your programming reminders for you again. Don't go anywhere. 7:45, we're going to pitch it over to the pregame for some Big East basketball. Xavier at Villanova. This is a really good one.
Top 10 matchup.
A Wednesday night. And go to WGCLradio.com and look at our schedule for these, because here's some of your other upcoming games. These are in future weeks, by the way. But you got Kansas of West Virginia. West Virginia's ranked number two. If you haven't
Villanova's number one. Xavier's 10. Kansas is 12.
St. Mary's, Gonzaga, Arizona, Stanford, Colorado, Arizona, Kansas, Oklahoma. I mean, there are a bunch of great games on our schedule this year for college basketball. So check out the full schedule, WGCLradio.com. Again, we'll have the NFL playoffs all weekend starting 4 o'clock on Sunday and 12:30, or 4 o'clock on Saturday, rather, and 12:30 on Sunday. We'll have all four games for you. And as always, our centerpiece is high school basketball with Edgewood at Owen Valley for the Black and Blue game on Friday night. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk for that tussle out there in Spencer. 812-333-2665. Is the phone number. We got an old new boss, same as the old boss in college football. Alabama with their fifth national championship under Nick Saban. It's getting a little absurd. He has created a monster at a place that was frankly already a monster, but got everything rolling just exactly right and faced a very good Georgia Bulldogs team after already beating a very good Clemson team. They played it out on the field, beat two very good teams. You got a hell of a game out of this, especially if you like defense. And oh my God, the talent on the defensive side of the ball on these two teams. It was incredible to watch. Not always your prettiest stuff, especially if what you want is a 45-41 game.
Like we got that last year. 42-39, right?
But this was about more about the defenses and more about the, you know, making the right plays. And you got a few turnovers out of the equation.
What does Kirby Smart do for a living?
Had some young players doing it.
What would Kirby Smart do for
defensive coordinator?
There you go. 7 years for Nick Saban. So that's his forte. Alabama's teams usually have great skill players. They have great every players. What's the thing there? But Alabama's not a team that wins games 51-48. They win games 24-7, because they don't let other teams score. That their defense has layers and layers and layers of professional prospects. Like one of their best linebackers didn't even play.
Yeah.
In the game you didn't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, the talent on these two teams is insane.
And how about this?
Alabama, by the way, number one recruiting class in the nation, according to
Georgia,
for like 6 or 7 straight years leading up to this.
But in your wildest dreams, did you ever think two freshman quarterbacks would decide the proceedings in the second half? No, and that just shows you the layers and layers of talent they have.
How about one of them being a guy that didn't start the game and didn't play in the entire first half and maybe played three games all year long?
Tua.
I mean, some incredible storylines during the course of this game. It really was. You had some big mistakes, but you had some great plays being made. Great defense. I mean, so much went on in this game. It's nice to see at that level when you get a good game. I mean, that's the whole thing. Let's have a good game out of it. It's never going to be perfectly played, but let's get a damn good game out of it. And that's what we got. And a ton of talent out there. And again, last play of the game once again.
It is. And the last play of the game should have been a regulation, except that didn't work. And thankfully for that kid with that, I don't want to say idiot fan base, but it's getting close.
Passionate.
No.
We'll give him that credit, maybe,
no.
Just to be nice about it.
More of the what's that self-defense when you kill somebody into the crime of passion? They're that.
SEC fans are over-the-top nuts.
They are. And if that poor kid would have had to deal with that for the rest of his life.
That would have been absurd, yes.
But instead it was a big play by a true freshman, and now you've got a sophomore quarterback and a true freshman quarterback. Well, we'll let Nick handle that. He handles everything else.
I'm not worried about next year right now. We
can't be.
Alabama once again. I'm telling you, folks.
5 and 9 years.
This might be better than John Wooden's. It's a completely different era than when John Wooden was at UCLA. Completely different stuff going on. What Nick Saban has done is incredible. Music means we got to head on out of here, folks. We'll be back Monday night, so tune in then. Remember, don't go very far, though. Xavier at Villanova here in just a little while. You've been in the zone.